This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Wednesday, midweek for the second full week in March. It's the 11th of March. The Ides of March are coming up. When are they, though? The 15th is 13th or so. It's Sunday. We won't have the Ides of March here. We can celebrate that next Monday. Lots of things to celebrate today for a lot of people. Jennifer Horn is here. I don't think she cares about the celebration, at least political celebration, not her side of the street. Victoria Keelan is here. Kara Schillen, Doug Steffen. The commitment from Joe Biden, the voters, the overview, whether it's of any value for us to go back through, okay, this state voted for Biden and this one went for Bernie. The outrage from my point of view is that a lot of people are not going to be heard because the presumptive nominee has taken lead and enough for Bernie to hit the road. And it's just not fair. It's not right. It's not democratic. It's not American. All the people who are in states that are yet to vote in the primary, it doesn't make a bit of difference. It doesn't now.
When do you vote? Are you voting in Massachusetts or California?
No, I voted in Massachusetts. That was super.
Oh, you crazy. already did yours.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Kara and I are June 2nd, so we're like unimportant.
Yeah,
even that late. I'm the end of April, which to me
I'm June 2nd. Yeah, I'm the least important.
Exactly. I'm April 28th, which I never really thought was that terrible until this year when suddenly I'm like, it doesn't really matter.
And, you know, my son sent me a note last night, which I'm going to read in part on the air, because I do think it reflects what people are thinking about this process. In essence, he said it was a long day, after a long weekend, after a long few months. Sophie, his wife, has spent over 100 hours calling people and canvassing neighborhoods for the election. I've done a decent amount, not that much, but I've done a decent amount as much. It's not sad that Bernie isn't going to be the nominee for his sake. He's going to be fine. I'm sad because all of these people whose lives mean just as much, who need somebody to fight for them, are once again being told it's too early, it's not your time, you have to wait. And in part, I guess I'm going along with that, but for a different reason. Again, what I just said about the process, there are two major, I don't know, crimes, but there are two major flaws in our system, serious flaws that keep people whose voice needs to be heard, that is, everybody's voice, needs to equally be heard. And actually, there are three things. One of them, primaries ought to be held on the same day. That needs to be changed. There needs to be a national referendum or some kind of a push to get this whole system set so that everybody's vote counts there. Second, everybody's vote doesn't count on election day because of the stupid Electoral College, which doesn't work for every voter. It works only for certain states. Not good, not right, improper, needs to be fixed. And the third thing is the way elections are financed, this damn Citizens United ruling that took place 10 or 11 or 12 years ago, whatever it was, that allows many people to buy their way into office using other people's money. It's just those three things, and I'll probably continue to say these, I hope, in my lifetime. I hope there's a lot of life left in me, and I hope in my lifetime those things are changed. Because until they are changed, the election process is a joke. It is. It's a joke.
You're talking about two different things. You're making
the
argument.
No, I'm talking about the people being disenfranchised.
You're right, and that's a problem. It's also a problem because we've taken civics out of schools, and people don't know how election worked. And I almost find it ironically laughable that the people who are voting for Bernie are upset that the young people aren't showing up, because the young people aren't showing up for Bernie, and that's,
no, that's
why
true.
He's not doing well. And the reason that young people
up.
Aren't showing up is because the same people who support Bernie supported taking civics out of classrooms. So people are frustrated and think they can't make change, when if they actually just showed up, they really could. That's the first step.
How do you figure the people who supported Bernie supported taking...
People who support far-left initiatives are the ones who are running universities, they're the ones who are running academics in this country, and they're the ones who have made the decision to take civics out of the classroom.
No, I think you're way off base.
I'm way off base at all. I think they're the ones that have taken it out. I think they're the far-left that's infiltrated local government and the schools. And I think they're the ones that are actually now paying the cost. And I think also to conflate the Electoral College with the way the DNC runs their primary is a mistake, because the things that are ticking off Bernie Sanders supporters are the rules that are set forth by the party, not by the federal government, not by the Constitution. The rules that are ticking people off, that make people feel like Bernie isn't getting a fair shake, are the rules that are being set by the DNC. The DNC has engineered this election to go for Joe Biden. They did it for Hillary Clinton the last time around, and they're doing it again. And
But it still has to do with
people still
the
have to vote.
Timing.
At the end of the day, why do people vote? Here's the point I'll make, and then I will shut up and let you guys talk, because clearly I'm not going to vote for either of these two guys. But the momentum that has been swung to Joe Biden is not because you, Victoria, or you, Doug, or you, Kara, were sold on Joe Biden a month ago. None of you, in fact, were talking about how great Joe Biden was. In fact, it was all the other candidates who are now out of the race that you guys were talking about. Nobody. I would say that maybe 3 weeks ago, that maybe 10% of the people who voted for Joe Biden may have actually liked Joe Biden. The reason they voted for Joe Biden is because of the message in the media that there was momentum behind Joe and that he was going to be the winning
choice. No,
that's
not true at all.
Absolutely.
That's not true.
Were you going to vote for Joe Biden 3 weeks ago?
He's been, actually, yes. If Michael Bloomberg was, I would have voted for him. If New Jersey's primary was the first Super Tuesday that he was on the ballot, he would have had my vote. Now, if he wasn't in the race, Joe Biden would have been my vote, easily. He was going to be my vote all along.
Maybe you're one of the 10%, because everybody I've talked to has not been excited about Joe Biden for the last several months.
I wasn't excited about it. That's a different question. I wasn't excited about it, but that would have still been my choice. They're two very different questions. So I just don't believe that the people that showed up
to vote for Joe Biden are not there because of the engineering gone on by the DNC. With the help of the news media to say, Joe Biden's your one chance against Bernie Sanders. If you're not a Bernie fan, you have to vote for Joe.
I think most common sense Democrats and all the exit polls last night showed that every single person that came out of all those states, when they asked the level of liberalism or whatever you want to call it, progressivism, whatever it was, on a scale, the bulk of the party was in the either moderately liberal or somewhat liberal category. The very liberal category was a very small number in every single state, in every exit poll. That means Joe Biden. It could have been Mayor Pete in the beginning.
Right. It could have been Mayor Pete. It could have been Amy Klobuchar. My question is this, and then, again, I'll be quiet. You don't believe... What I'm hearing from you is that the DNC engineered this result at all.
I think absolutely they moved Mayor Pete out of the way, and they moved Amy Klobuchar out of the way. Absolutely. Or Biden's campaign did that. I don't know.
That's the point that I'm trying to make.
Okay, but you're still saying that only 10% of the Democrats wanted Biden from the beginning? That's totally not correct.
I know you're not a Democrat,
but every Democrat I know, that's not correct at all.
I know my social circle in California. I know my mom was very upset with Joe Biden and, in fact, went, ugh, he's done. Just about a couple weeks ago, and voted for Mayor Pete. I know my co-host on the show went, oh, Biden, he's done. Now, he ultimately ended up voting for him, but that was because he made up his mind 2 days, or actually not even 2 days, 2 hours before Election Day. I know my other friend and colleague at work went, Joe Biden, ugh, he's gone, and now he ended up voting for him. So my point is that the reason...
Like I said, you asked two different questions. No one's enthusiastic... But they still voted for Biden.
But the reason they changed their mind is because the DNC got involved with the race. That's the point that I'm making.
I think that's true to a point. But I think that there are a lot of other things in play here, three of which I enumerated as we get started. It's a very complicated system. It's still A lot of the decisions are not made by the voter. They're made by the powers that be, i.e.
by the party.
Democratic National Committee.
The RNC primary system is all different.
No, they did the same thing.
Look, I think the bottom line is, I think Bernie supporters love to say that once again the election was stolen from Bernie, but the bottom line is, everyone loves to see Bernie at a rally, they don't go and vote. They just don't. And for whatever reason, he has a lower young voter turnout in this election than he did the last time. That's not the DNC saying, oh, we're really going to sabotage Bernie. Now, I obviously know they did not want him to be the nominee, but they're not holding kids hostage, 17 to 29 years old, and telling them that they can't vote. Those people are just not showing up for him.
No, it's because they've lost faith in the system, and that's what I was saying was kind of ironic, is they've lost faith in the system because they don't know how the system works. All they know is that their guy, Bernie Sanders, is being victimized. That's what they think, and that's why they're not showing up, because they don't think it matters.
I think it's a lot more than that. I think they're not showing up.
It's more complicated, but I think that's...
Yeah, my mom told me, my mom was a poli-sci major in the 60s, and she was like, look, I can tell you right now, all these Bernie supporters and the Bernie bros, she's like, they're not going to vote. Statistically, those young people, they rally, they canvass, they do lots of stuff, and then they don't vote. If they have exams that day, or something's going on, or they're hungover, they do not vote. And she goes, that goes back to the 60s. And she was right. I told her she was wrong. I go, no, Bernie's going to sweep all of this. And she was right. I stand corrected, Nance. But she was right. And statistically, when you look at young voter turnout, they showed up for Obama, but they're not showing up for Bernie, even now, the way that they did 4 years ago. So I don't think you can just blame the party on that.
I believe a lot of it has to do with the party, but we differ. That's fine. But I do think it's interesting. The reason we're having this conversation is not because Biden is running away with it. In fact, if you look at the delegate count today, he's winning states, but Bernie's still picking up delegates. They're only separated by a few hundred delegates.
Bloomberg picked up delegates last night, too.
Yeah. If this were a really honest process, we'd say, okay, there's a debate coming up, and Bernie has time to redeem himself. But now everybody's like, no, Bernie's got to get out of the race. This is all messaging, and this is just the point again. This is messaging that's coming from somewhere. Where is it coming from? It's coming from the party.
Yeah. Well, again, nobody's ever going to accuse me of being a liberal, and there is there's a certain tone in all of this. I've never been a Democrat. I'm not enthusiastic about voting for the Democrat, but I'm more enthusiastic about voting for him than I am the other guy, because I just think we've had the experience, we've had the experiment, we've had 4 years of a lot of stuff that frankly is good for the country in ways that we can't quite measure yet. But my personality is such that I'm, and you know how I conduct myself on this program with you and how I live my life, I don't like confrontation. I don't like in-your-face stuff. I don't like the dis-ease that comes from all this.
Then how are you going to be able to vote for Biden?
I'm going to be able to vote for Biden because...
He threatened to punch somebody in the face yesterday.
No, we do have to talk about that.
Here's the thing. All the things that people say they don't like about Trump, Biden is all those things too.
No, it's a different feel to it.
Look at
Karen, you got that audio?
He said, let's go outside.
Well, before that, he told the guy that he was full of... Bingo.
And be fair here. If Trump did this, what would you guys say? You would say
Trump does
violent.
This. Trump has always been that way.
Find me the video where Trump has gone up to someone and invited him to go outside.
I was going to say something that's not radio friendly. No, what Trump does is, and this is how he has been, I've grown up with this guy, Jen. I know that he's like new to the rest of the country, but Trump has always fashioned himself as a mob type boss. He has everybody else. He's got henchmen. He will never be the guy to say, let's step outside, because look at him. He doesn't have an athletic bone in his body. He's the guy who's Mr. Tough Guy. And he has all his henchmen, and he wants other people to fight. He does that at rallies all the time.
There's no video of Trump telling somebody to go outside. Is this the best we can do?
Are these two guys the best of the best of the best?
There is something very disturbingly aggressive about Joe Biden lately.
You don't think that about Trump and all of his insightful tweets and comments? Really? Mocking people at rallies, inciting violence.
Joe Biden
really?
Screamed at some guy in a wheelchair to get up. Victoria, everything that you guys don't like about Trump, Joe Biden is.
21 after the hour. Yeah, see, this is how it works. Good. 21 after the hour.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hardest part is always leaving love behind. I believe, yes I do, that everything we lose will be a gift in time. But the hardest part is leaving love behind.
Wow, what a lyric line. You know, as time goes on and more songs are created, most of them about love and love lost, forlorn circumstances, I'm captivated, and I think that's the right word, by the creativity of how people can take 26 letters. You see, I get down into the kind of the weeds with stuff. I think philosophically, there are 26 letters in our language, and how many words can be formed with those 26 letters, and then how many can you take the words that we have and recreate something that, I don't know where the audio went, but I think Leaving Love Behind and that lyric line that the Zac Brown Band has really is quite poignant, frankly, as there are so many songs that are poignant. Are we on the air still, or am I talking to myself?
Yeah,
we are very much on the air. Maybe Doug isn't on the air.
Hello?
Anybody like else want to tell the
what
story?
What just happened? Sounded like he was just waxing poetic. And that just
yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Well, somebody else can tell the story.
Well, this is the Zac Brown Band. You want to tell us the story about why we're hearing this, Victoria? Because I'm a huge fan.
I've got a computer meltdown, so you're going to have to tell us, Jen.
Well, aren't we all great?
I know, right? Well, I do know Zac Brown Band. If you have tickets to see Zac Brown Band right now, hold on to them because they are not going to be on tour this spring. Hopefully the summer tour is going to happen, but they had to cancel the spring tour because of the coronavirus, and so many artists are going
to be
in that direction.
Yeah. This is a big thing with colleges sending everybody home and large gatherings over 100. I don't know. I just went to the Blake Shelton concert a couple weeks ago, and it was fine and sold out. So, yeah, Zac Brown decided that they would postpone the spring dates of their OWL tour, citing increasing public health concerns over the spread of the coronavirus. Now, the tour got underway on February 28th,
in Illinois and made 5 stops before they decided to stop. Now, the next show was scheduled to take place on March 12th, that's this weekend, in St. Louis, Missouri. 13 dates, concluding with the group's April 25th show in Nashville, will be affected by the postponement. Rescheduled dates not available yet, but tickets to the postponed shows will be honored. They said it was a difficult decision, but they want the well-being of the fans to be the top priority. The group's summer 2020 Roar with the Lions tour is expected to continue as normal. Those shows get underway on May 24th in New Hampshire. They're not the only ones who are canceling tours. Pearl Jam, Santana, Madonna just canceled a bunch of her dates in France. And if you ever get a chance, by the way, I know they're canceling their shows. Zach Brown Band is an amazing concert.
I have friends who love them live.
Yeah,
but you know it's weird because their audience is young, so I feel like only certain acts should actually be canceling. I know that kind of flies in the face of what the CDC says, but younger people are not getting this coronavirus, and if they are, the symptoms are very mild. So, you know, I don't know. I think maybe certain acts need to look at their demographic and look at their audience and make the decision that way. I know
it's
not like science.
And also give people a chance, if they don't want to come, to refund their ticket instead of just canceling the whole show. I think just be flexible at this time instead of just shutting everything down. This came on the heels of the announcement that both Coachella and Stagecoach, the music festivals in Palm Springs and Indio, California, which are scheduled in April, are going to be canceled, and they're going to be moved to October. So a lot of people taking precautions. And believe me, if the worst thing that you come away from Coachella is is the coronavirus, you're probably doing okay, because there's a lot of stuff floating around that campground. I've been to Stagecoach. Trust me, I know that. All right, the Zach Brown Band, Colder Weather. It's a DJV show at 28 minutes past the hour.
Can I call you then? She said you're around the man. You ain't ever gone.
How to meditate in 60 seconds. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. Meditation is like exercise for your brain. It's extremely healthy for you. I only have 60 seconds to tell you how to do it right now, and I've already used some of those seconds up. So here are 5 quick tips. 1. Find a quiet place if you can. 2. Sit upright, because meditation is different than lounging. 3. Close your eyes so you minimize distractions. 4. Sit still, because it's said that a quiet body can produce a quiet mind. 5. Focus on taking slow, controlled breaths. Do not get upset with yourself if you have thoughts. Instead, just observe those thoughts with compassion. The real goal of meditation is to be present, so do your best to be present. Oh, and start with doing this for 2 minutes a day. When you feel comfortable with that, meditate longer. For more in-depth information on meditation, visit drchristianconti.com.
We have a focus on you and your health, your weight. How are you feeling about your body? And Elizabeth Miller is here with us from Calitrin. Great place to go for information and for help. So if you have questions, you have people there that will chat with folks who want to know more about what Calitrin is all about. Yes?
Yes, sir. If you go to the website, toploss.com, you can chat with us online. There's also the phone number, 1-800-325-4366. And you can also see how we've been helping customers lose weight safely for over 20 years. This is what healthy weight loss looks like when your body is burning off those fats and sugars the way that it did when you were younger. So that's why you feel good while you're taking it. That's why it's good for you. This is really a health supplement that just turns your body back into that fat-burning machine.
Feel good about yourself. Lose that weight at Calitrin.com or toploss.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Federal officials just announcing that coronavirus cases confirmed in the United States have now exceeded 1,000. There are cases in 37 states, and there have been 31 deaths in the United States from the virus. Meanwhile, President Trump came out of a meeting with top Senate Republicans yesterday, saying they're working on some economic relief for businesses and workers impacted by the outbreak.
We just had a meeting with stimulus, and You'll be hearing about it soon, but it was a great meeting.
Joe Biden, the big winner in yesterday's primaries.
This campaign is taking off, and I believe we're going to do well from this point on.
Now in a two-candidate race with Bernie Sanders, Biden is the projected winner in yesterday's primaries in Missouri, Mississippi, Idaho, and delegate-rich Michigan. And this is USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps. The ultimate, fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Program, nice and warm, and even though it's a little rainy here, Jennifer, 67 degrees at this point. What's it like on the East Coast, ladies? Where is the temperature bracket in the, well, you both are basically
the
same.
It was in the 60s yesterday.
Yeah,
it was in the lower 60s.
Yeah, so in the 40s now?
That's okay. It's gone down a little bit. I think it's kind of drizzly today. It's supposed to be in the 50s, but I'm still not complaining. It's pretty nice.
Here we'll have a little drizzle as well today. It's Wednesday, March 11th, one-third of the way through the month, and the coronavirus continues to suck all the oxygen out of the room. Whatever Bernie and Joe haven't sucked out of the room, the coronavirus has. And I'm becoming demonstratively more annoyed, maybe, with all of this stuff. But there's a lot of pieces to the pie or the puzzle that need to be explained. I have from my friend Uri Geller, the mentalist psychic, who is more often right than he is wrong, he told me how this all started. I'm going to lay that on you in a few minutes. First, though, Victoria, do you want to sort of give us the practical side of what's going on? I noticed yesterday my daughter sent me a note saying that the classes at UCLA now are canceled, but they're going into spring break next week, so they're only losing a week's worth of time.
Harvard University told everybody to get the hell out in 5 days. They gave people a deadline. They said, don't come back. Go to spring break and don't come back. So,
and they basically said, you pack up like you're not coming back. So
right.
They made people who live on
campus.
Then,
but we'll keep your money, though, for the rest of the semester. Right. You'll be sure.
No refunds. Yeah.
Right.
I have two friends who are teachers, and yesterday they spent all day in meetings. Basically learning, they were essentially learning Google Hangout because they're both going to have to start teaching from home.
This is crazy.
You know, it is. Partially.
It's nuts.
The kid thing, the younger kids, sending young kids home from school, that makes no sense to me. It still does not. My friends who are teachers, they both agree, like one's in New York City and one is in Cincinnati, and they both said it makes no sense. Young kids are not getting this.
And they don't understand why they're going home either. Miles doesn't get why he's going home today.
He's young, but in general, kids just don't. But this is such a burden on families who have, you know, two working parents or even a single parent who works. This is such a burden. And here's the other thing. I was watching Dr. Sanjay Gupta on CNN last night, and he said he disagrees with all the school closings because he said, who steps in most families to babysit? Grandparents. So if the kids are carriers, which we don't know yet, you're literally putting them in front of the actual generation who is most at risk. This makes zero sense. Zero sense. And in New York City alone, 114,000 kids under the age of 18 are homeless and in school. They rely on breakfast and lunch at school. They have nowhere to go if they close down the public schools in New York City. They will not have food. It's a disaster. And that's only just the homeless population. There are plenty of other kids who also, if they are sent home, will not have the breakfast and lunch that they rely on.
When did we lose our ability to look at things in a common sense way?
I don't have it anymore. Everybody's just freaking out.
But I watched the entire press conference of Mike Pence yesterday and all the doctors and everything, and there's still some really just unclear plans. The plan, it's more testing kits, okay, but if you don't have insurance, you're not going to get tested anyway. My friend was at is in D.C. She was at a conference sitting next to a woman for 3 hours who has the coronavirus. She works for a law firm, they told her to stay home. She's been home for a week. She called her doctor, and the doctor said, this is what he said. He said, I've got 20 kits for 18,000 patients. You're not qualified. I'm not going to give you the test. So now she's like, all right, well, I guess I'll go back to work.
That's because what they're telling people is not to go back to work. They're telling people to go home and get well. That's what they're telling people
to
do.
She wasn't even sick.
Because people aren't
sick. Quarantining her. Yeah,
right.
She wasn't even sick.
That's so dumb, is that it's not about taking the test. And as far as people without insurance getting qualified, that's not really true. The administration already passed or reduced a regulation that said the hospital has to take anybody who has no insurance and basically give them free health care during this time. That was like 3 days ago that the administration made that announcement that people who are exhibiting symptoms are not going to be charged for their hospital visits.
Yeah, that is something they mentioned in the press conference yesterday,
so,
but I don't know if that's...
To say that you
I don't
need
know.
Insurance... Mm-mm.
Well, at hospitals, but I don't know about regular doctor's offices. I don't think they're just taking people in off the street if you don't have insurance. And they don't want people flooding the hospitals.
Well, I don't think they should do that, actually. I think they should go to the hospital. That's where you want to be.
But the problem is, though, they said people are panicking and they're going to overrun the hospitals.
All right, so the panic here is so damnable. Last night on KFI, Tim Conway Jr., who has one of the best talk radio programs, not only in Los Angeles but in the country, he had a Los Angeles pulmonologist who, according to many, may be the nation's number one expert when it comes to pulmonology, what's going on in the world of your cavity, the lungs, and what makes this all work. And he decried the way this thing is being handled. He said, this is basically nonsense. The number of people who have this in comparison to who have the regular virus, that is the regular yearly outbreak of some kind of flu, and what danger it presents to the public, it is the way everybody is overreacting and overreacting and overreacting to this to scare the hell out of everybody? Does it work to have some disruption so that some people won't be affected or won't get it? Yeah. But at some point, you got to have some measured common sense. And there is none being exhibited here. This is a rally for the nutbirds of the world to get together and be, you know, it's like Chicken Little and the sky is falling, which is the farthest thing from the truth. And the, by the way, in case you haven't noticed it, there are no cases of coronavirus in the Southern Hemisphere except in Australia. And why is that? Because it's warm and this virus doesn't work. It doesn't last. It won't be, when we get into warm weather across the country in the next 2 months, you're going to find out, you can say, well, what about California? Well, look where they came from. The stuff I'm talking about, what actually, where, if people aren't going from China, for the most part, to any place in South America or Africa, that's for sure. And so I thought you'd get a kick out of that. I laugh at it, but it makes as much sense as anything else. So I said that Uri, my friend Uri Geller, who is a fabulous motivator and a mystic and the spoon bender, all the things he does with his mind, he has a theory, and I think we have the audio from a conversation I had with him on the Your Hidden Power show that appears every week, yourhiddenpowershow.com. It's a focus on what sort of extra sensory perception, if you will, extraordinary thinking. And so he explains what happened from his point of view. Here's how the coronavirus started and where it went and how it got there.
But let me tell you this, that in the last 3 or 4 days, I have posted on my Instagram and Twitter the following message. I basically told everyone that I believe this virus was manufactured in a bacteriological warfare laboratory outside Wuhan. The virus was carried by an individual who already was infected by the virus in China with a stopover in Milano, in Italy, on the way to Tehran, to Iran, to deliver this virus. And this is hence the mega outbreak of this coronavirus in China, in Italy, and Iran.
So tell me that doesn't make sense. It is there's no direct flight. The commercial, they weren't going to send it in a way that wasn't some sort of commercial flight. There are no commercial flights from China to Iran. So this guy flies to Milan.
People go back and forth all the time. Our Iranian friends said that they weren't surprised whatsoever that Iran had so many cases because people go back and forth every day to China from Iran. That's
well,
a huge... He's inaccurate about that, Ben, if that's what he's saying. But that's...
I'm saying that because I was trying to trace the reason for them going to Milan.
I don't know about Milan, unless it's just beautiful and Fashion Week. But, Fashion Week has a huge Chinese contingent because they knock everything off. So every Fashion Week around the world, I can tell you that from covering 8 years of Fashion Week in New York, it's a bunch of Chinese photographers. They photograph every single item of clothing and every single handbag and shoes, and they knock it all off. So everywhere you go to a fashion week, you are seeing loads of Chinese people.
I thought
it
was a fascinating theory, however.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely heard that before, but I guess if we're talking about, like, the panic that is caused by the coronavirus, something like that definitely does not help make people feel less panicked. If you think that China is, you know, creating something to try and kill us all, then...
I think China is very capable. I think they are too, but I think, like SARS, absolutely.
I agree with him. I think this is a biological weapon, and I think it escaped. I think it got out. I think this was, I don't know that this was intentionally dropped off in Milan and in Iran. I think that's just, you know, going back, like I said, if Chinese people in Milan knocking every Italian good off in the EU is not, that is so, so common. It's, look at Canal Street, all of Canal Street in New York City.
It's just
knocked off
there.
Goods from Chinese
people.
There could
be any number of things, but to think that the Chinese and the Iranians aren't capable of conspiring to try to screw over the rest of the world and spread this around, I think...
Of course.
You've got to have another thought coming. If you don't think
But
that's
I think
possible.
This was mishandled. I don't think that this is...
may have been.
Yeah, I think this was totally bungled. I think it was a biological weapon, and I think it got out, and it was mishandled.
They missteps galore here, that's for sure. Today is National... Promposal Day. The Promposal. Act of asking someone to the prom in a super elaborate way. First used in 2001, at least as far as Google knows. And while the promposal has been around for a while, National Promposal Day was officially established by the Men's Warehouse in 2016.
So the Men's Warehouse
runs special prom deals for high school students. Yeah, I remember promposals when I was in school. I remember
not
a lady.
Like they are now, though. They're elaborate. No. Oh, my gosh. People do dances.
Nuts.
I am so glad I graduated high school before it really became a big thing.
So
because if someone had put on, like, a flash mob or, like, made some big poster to ask me, I would have, like, run in the opposite direction.
I can see that.
It would be so embarrassing to me.
All right, sports. Golden State Warriors star Steph Curry tested positive for coronavirus. He fell
He tested negative. He tested positive
for the flu. He has influenza A.
Yeah.
The flu.
But people thought that he had coronavirus.
Stuff. Right. The NBA said this morning Stephen Curry was diagnosed with influenza A by a positive viral testing. We've identified this probable source contact who's not part of basketball operations. He has no specific risk factors for COVID.
I think that means it's his daughter. When they say the person who gave it to him was not part of basketball,
how old is
he has
daughter?
Like four kids. He's got little ones,
younger kids, right. Okay. So anyway, that's that story. The U.S. soccer made what the organization really thinks about men's and women's soccer known in a court filing. The Soccer Federation, which is a group being sued by members of the women's national team because of unequal pay, argued that the work of the women representing America on the pitch is less demanding and requires less skill.
Ugh.
In an effort to prove the organization is not discriminating against the World Cup winning squad, the women's soccer team. The U.S. soccer group argued specifically the job of a men's player carries more responsibility with U.S. soccer than the job of women's.
I can't even believe that they're trying to make that argument.
I would maybe agree with that if, like, the men's team won everything and had to go around promoting, but they don't win anything. They don't play any World Cup games because they barely get anywhere in the World Cup. And so, like, the fact that the women's team won all that and then had to go out and do all of this promo, all of these different things for it, it's just, it's bullcrap.
The spokesperson for the U.S. women's team said, quote, "This ridiculous argument belongs in the Paleolithic era." That's a great line. It sounds as if it's been made by a caveman. Those of you who don't know what Paleolithic means, it refers back to the era of the caveman. Literally everyone in the world understands that an argument that male players have more responsibility is just plain simple sexism and illustrates the very gender discrimination that caused us to file this lawsuit to begin with.
Yep.
I'm with them on that one. That is ridiculous. All right. Well, just kind of shows you. Maybe there are 78-year-old white guys making decisions there as well. Okay, Jennifer, we have television in our focus. What's on the tube tonight? It's going to be, so what is tonight? Wednesday. So it's the Chicago Bunch on NBC. You know that much.
It is the Chicago Bunch on NBC. Unfortunately, it's all in reruns tonight. So if you need to catch up on Med, Fire, or PD, you can do that. Also in reruns tonight, but worth noting, is that ABC is rerunning the pilot of Modern Family, along with a whole night of Modern Family episodes from their past tenure over the decade plus that they've been on. So it starts at 8, it goes all the way till 11 o'clock on ABC. It's all Modern Family tonight, so you can see that. That's kind of fun. CBS is new tonight with Survivor and SEAL Team, along with SWAT at 10 o'clock. And the CW is new tonight with Riverdale and Nancy Drew. That's at 8 and 9 o'clock. Plus, The Masked Singer is on Fox at 8, followed by Lego Masters at 9.
Who was the last Masked Singer to be unmasked?
Tom Bergeron.
Bergeron, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was Bergeron, that's fine.
Bergeron, Tom Bergeron. Yeah, yeah. It was, that is a show that I can understand why people be captivated with.
We love it. It's fun.
Well produced. It's good. It's a good show. All right, anyway, we've got 10 before the hour on another good show. It's a good radio show called The DJV Show.
Message and data rates may apply.
Help! Seriously, I'm too young for hair loss.
My hairline keeps creeping back. Receding?
I got this bald spot. It's thinning everywhere.
I'm gonna have to give up and shave it.
Dude. Put down the razor, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, is about to give you your real hair back.
permanently. Don't ignore the signs of hair loss. Bosley is giving away an absolutely free information kit that reveals all the signs and a free gift card to anyone who texts KIT 88 to 85850. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Using the latest technology, Bosley's solution to hair loss is permanent and protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Plus, since Bosley has new non-surgical options, you owe it to yourself to text now for an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off, no matter what level of hair loss you have. Text KIT 88 to 85850. KIT 88 to 85850.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com. That's advertise at GCNlive.com.
All right, crew, let's get her done.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Past the hour, Tech Talk time here on the DJV program. Doug Steffen, that's me, with Victoria Keelan, that's her. She's got the story, she's got the dope, she's got the straight poop on the FCC, the broadband business, and the usual screwing of the farmers and the people living rural America. All right, so what's the latest on that?
Yeah. Well, the FCC's latest plan is to expand high-speed internet across the country, and of course, they claim that they're going to hit up 6 million houses and residences, farms, things like that in rural America. The problem is a group of about 25 senators, Republican and Democrat, this is a bipartisan issue, they wrote to the FCC chairman, Ajit Pai, and they denounced the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund, it's RDOF, if you see it in headlines, that's how it's being referred to. According to the senators, this $20 billion plan will not be actually serving the communities that it really should be serving. And this is, we hear this all the time, unfortunately. Government kind of messes this stuff up. And so the people who are, like you mentioned, the farmers, the people who are really deserving of having high-speed internet connections, they are probably going to get screwed. So these senators want to make sure that before this money gets allocated, that they actually have data to show where the spots in the country are, where the most, you know, where they have the least amount of connectivity. And the problem is the FCC is using maps out of these communities, but the data for the maps, the coverage maps, are coming from AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile. And those data maps are always inaccurate because the cell phone companies lie about how great their coverage is. Think about it. Anytime you try to sign up for a cell phone or if you're shopping around for a different plan, everybody tells you, we've got the most coverage. We've got, look at our coverage map. Well, all those coverage maps maps are basically lies. And those are the maps that they've submitted to the government. So the senators are saying, hey, wait a minute. We know that the cell phone companies are lying about their coverage. So why are we using and trusting their data to give away $20 billion in infrastructure? So it's a huge, huge problem. And essentially, I think the senators are all correct that if they don't have better data and better maps before they allocate this money, then it's going to end up going to places, you know, that are people who are really left out, which is minorities, rural people living in rural areas, and minorities are the two biggest groups, demographics, who are overlooked for broadband connection. And according to all of the data maps, though, they say, oh, no, we have coverage everywhere and for both demographics, and they don't. So I understand completely what the senators are saying here. I'm happy this is a bipartisan effort. This is a very important project, and $20 billion is certainly nothing to sneeze at. So I hope that they are able to convince the FCC to start looking into the data and have, like, actual accuracy before they start allocating this service.
All right, so there's that. That's a good perspective on it, Victoria. Here's a way for you to make $1,000. Listen up.
The Geek Out. The Office is a series that's so fun to rewatch, but would you like to make $1,000 for binging on Michael Scott? A dish retailer is running a contest to find one person who's willing to consume 15 hours of the show in 9 days, about 5 episodes a day. Now, that's also only 45 of the show's 188 episodes, so you don't even have to watch the whole series. But you do have to work while watching. The gig comes with a checklist of things to watch for and keep notes on and presumably promote on social media. The winner gets $1,000, an office bag filled with swag, and a Netflix gift card. Applications are open till March 16th, so we put the link on Twitter at The Geek Out.
All right, I have to take a bite out of the apple here, shall I? Not using Clorox wipes, though. I better not do it with that.
No, actually, Apple says that it is okay to use Clorox wipes. They updated their website yesterday with, of course, with everyone freaking out about the coronavirus. Right. Apple said, feel free to use disinfectant wipes to clean your iPhone.
Use them on the screen that you have. I got my big screens in front of me that have little doodads on them. Can you use a Clorox wipe for that, too?
Yes. You can use it on any non-porous part of your iPhone or your laptop or your desktop computer. So, yes, you can. Now, here's the thing, though. You don't have an Apple. You don't have a Mac. So Apple has a different screen than they use different screens than other companies do. So this is just for Apple and for iPhone. Smartphones, obviously, we know they just are loaded with germs. So Apple's support page says that you can gently wipe hard, non-porous surfaces with a Clorox wipe, or you can use a wipe that has 70% isopropyl alcohol. That will also disinfect. You should not use bleach ever. Don't ever clean any of your electronics with bleach. And a consultant for Clorox actually said that that Americans should basically just, you know, not panic and just take all the normal precautions. Wash your hands with soap and water, wipe down your shared workspaces, things like that.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.